One of the most basic claims of Christianity is that God indeed speaks to people. All through the Bible, you see the phrase, "and God said." It appears there very often. And pretty soon you get the idea that God really does speak to people. The Bible tells us that God wants to have a relationship with us. He wants to have a personal relationship with you. And there is no relationship without communication. And that is why God has chosen to speak to us. The challenge that we face is that communication is often misunderstood. When my wife Shauna speaks to me, I often don't hear her, or I hear her, but I'm not really listening. I'm not listening actively. Or there's the potential that I misunderstand her. And I'm pretty sure I'm the only man that has ever felt that way about his relationship with his wife. Right? By the way, men, there are two things that you need to understand about women. And nobody knows what they are. So I wish you all the best with that. Listen, if I have that much difficulty with Shauna, who I share my life with, spend time with, she's the one that I love and know, and still we have communication challenges, wouldn't you expect there to be some communication challenges with God? Frankly, I'm very skeptical of people who always have this clear word from God. A lot of unwise things have been done by people who claim that God speaks to them, or that they say, "God spoke to me in this way." I'm doubtful when people come to me and they say, "God told me this." Like they always have this clear word from Him. Some people think that pastors always have this clear word from God, and they always exactly understand what God wants us to do. That's just not true. I'm often as confused as everybody else is about what God is saying, what God is trying to say to us. Some of you think I have a little red telephone in my office. That's a direct line to God, that God tells me what to say, and then I just pass that on to you, that we kind of talk that way. Sometimes I wish it were that way. But the reality is there are times I'm just as much in the dark about what God is saying to me as you are. On the other hand, there are times in my life when God speaks and I have absolutely no doubt at all that He is the one who is speaking to me. Just like when Shauna calls me on the phone, I don't have to ask who it is. I know her voice. There are times that I know exactly who it is and who's putting that idea in my mind, who's planting that thought in my heart or moving my heart to follow up. I know where that impression is coming from. What is the difference? The difference is the condition of my heart, my mind, how receptive I am to hear what God is saying. So in the next few weeks, we're going to take a look at how can we learn to hear God's voice? Nothing is more important to you, nothing is more important for you than understanding that God wants to talk to you and that you can actually hear Him if you just tune in. Jesus said in Luke 8:8, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." We've got to be tuned in to the voice of God to hear what He's saying to us. I know many of us have canceled our home phone lines in light of the proliferation of cell phones. But some of you still may remember, you might even have these old cordless phones that we had in our homes at one time. You know, some cordless phones have different channels on them. And if you picked up a cordless phone and it wasn't particularly clear, there was static and noise on the line, you'd simply work your way through the channels until you got to the right one where all of a sudden you could hear the person who was on the other end really clearly. I believe there are many times that God has spoken to you, that He's spoken to me, but it hasn't come through clearly because we weren't on the right channel. Right now in this room, it's filled with radio waves, but you don't hear them because you're not tuned in. If you had a receiver and you could tune in, you'd be filled with the music. Right now, God is speaking to many of us. You don't see it, you don't necessarily hear it, but He really is. Your reception is just a little bit fuzzy. So if you want to take your worship folder to hand, grab a pen, maybe make some notes, that would be of help for you in the coming weeks, I'd invite you to do that. But Jesus told a story in Luke chapter 8, a parable about a farmer who was scattering seed, in which He says, "Let me explain to you that it's all about the condition of your heart, the receptivity of your mind to hearing me speak." There are four conditions of the heart that will depend on whether you get the message clearly from God or whether you don't. And this is so important. Obviously, if you can tune into God, then He can direct you. He can save you a lot of the heartache from making mistakes because he can guide you. He can comfort you when you need comfort. He can give you direction when you're seeking answers. And so Jesus in Luke chapter 8 says, let me tell you a story. And I invite you to follow along as I read from Luke 8. One day Jesus told a story in the form of a parable to a large crowd that had gathered from many towns to hear him. A farmer went out to plant his seed, Jesus said, and as he scattered it across his field, some fell on a footpath where it was stepped on and the birds ate it. Other seed fell among rocks. It began to grow, but the plant soon wilted and died for lack of moisture. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up with it and choked out the tender plants. Still other seed fell on fertile soil. The seed grew and produced a crop that was 100 times as much as had been planted. And when he had said this, he called out, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. His disciples asked him what this parable meant. And he replied, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of God, but I use parables to teach the others so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. When they look, they won't really see. When they hear, they won't understand. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is God's word. The seeds that fell on the footpath represent those who hear the message, only to have the devil come and take it away from their hearts and prevent them from believing and being saved. The seeds on the rocky soil represent those who hear the message and receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they believe for a while, then they fall away when they face temptation. The seeds that fell among the thorns represent those who hear the message, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. And so they never grow into maturity. And the seeds that fell on the good soil represent honest, good-hearted people who hear God's word, cling to it, and patiently produce a huge harvest. So Jesus tells a story of this farmer who went out to sow seed. And as he went out to sow seed, his seed scattered over all different types of soil. Back in the Middle East in the old days, they didn't plant one seed per spot and then cover it up with dirt. They did what was called broadcasting, kind of like those broadcast fertilizers that we buy for our lawns today. A farmer would have a pouch on his side. It would be filled with seed. And as he'd walk through the field, he would simply reach into his pouch and then he would toss out the seed, scattering it over the soil that he had tilled. That's where the term broadcasting comes from, just tossing out the seed. Obviously, some of the seed falls on good soil and some of it doesn't. He says these four soils represent four possible conditions of our heart, our mind. They're not four kinds of people, but actually all of us have been all four of these types of soil at some point in our journey. Sometimes we're very open and receptive to God and what he wants to say to us, and sometimes we're very closed. So the question that we want to ask is, how can we hear God speak to us? What can I do to hear the voice of God clearly? Note this. First thing that we can do is cultivate a receptive heart. I've got to want to hear from God. I've got to be eager, be receptive to listen to him. I've got to be ready and willing to hear what he speaks into my life. Each of us here this morning is on a different point in our spiritual journey. Some of you have been Christ followers for a long time. Some of you for a short time. Some of you are just starting out and some of you are just checking this whole thing out. What does it mean to be a Christ follower? But if I were to ask all of you, have you ever heard God speak to you? There are many of you who would say, I can't think of a time in my life where I ever actually did hear God speak to me. And by the way, I'm not talking here about an audible voice, but an impression in your mind, in your heart, the sense that God was saying something to you, revealing something to you. He was impressing something upon you, directing you in some way. He was revealing something to you. One of the possible reasons that we don't sense or feel that God is speaking to us is that we're not even open to the possibility of it. Maybe you've arrived here this morning and you never thought it was possible for God to speak to you directly. You thought maybe that God doesn't do that sort of thing. And you don't even believe in that sort of thing. Well, when you've got a closed mind, an unreceptive heart, obviously God is not going to get through. And this is the first type of soil. In verse 5, Jesus said, some seed fell on the path and it was trampled on, and the birds of the air came and ate it up. And then when he explains it to his disciples, he says it this way. Those along the path are those who hear. And then the devil comes along and takes away the word from their hearts so they cannot believe and be saved. On every farm back in that day, there was a footpath that the farmer would walk down as he was spreading his seed. And as he went to sow the seed out into the land, it would land in the various types of soil that had been tilled and some of the soil next to it that wasn't. And there are two characteristics of the footpath that Jesus is talking about here. One is that the footpath is hardened soil because of the constant traffic of people walking on it. The soil is compacted. It's not fertile. It's not tilled like the field. It's hard. The other thing about the path is that it's narrow. So do you know anybody who might be hard-hearted and narrow-minded? They're not open to the possibility that God might speak to them. As a result, Jesus says the farmer sows the seed, but it can't penetrate the soil because it's hard. It's compacted. It can't take root. It can't sprout. It just lays on the surface of the ground and the birds come along and eat it. It never even gets a chance. The hardened path represents an unreceptive heart. And this can be true of us at different times in our life. God wants to speak to us, but he doesn't even get a chance because our hearts have been hardened. Our minds have been closed. We've made up our mind about something and we're unwilling to listen to him. We've already decided what we're going to do in a certain situation and we don't want to hear from God, so we basically block him out. What causes us to have this kind of a heart? Three things. There's pride. Right? Pride causes us to have a closed mind or a hard heart. You know, when I think I don't need God, I don't need to hear from him. I can make this business decision on my own. I can make this family decision on my own. I know exactly what I'm going to say to my children. I don't need to consult God. I don't need his help. I know how to handle this date that I'm going on. I know how to handle this proposal that I'm making at work. I can ace this exam without praying. I can do it on my own. I don't need God's help. Right? Anytime you fail to pray about something, you're basically saying, God, I don't need you in this. I can handle this on my own. I can solve it. I'm good to go. I can handle this mess. I can correct this error. I can resolve this conflict. I don't need you. It's called pride. And when I'm full of pride, I close my mind to God, and he can't say anything to me because I think I've got it all figured out. And so I don't pray. Next to pride, there's fear. Sometimes we're just afraid of what God might say to us. Right? What if I pray and open my mind to God and he tells me to do something I don't want to do? Right? He might tell me to do something that's difficult, something that's unpopular, something that I think I can't do or don't want to do, so I'm afraid. Or if I let God actually talk to me, am I going to turn out to be one of these religious fanatics, like one of these wackos on TV? Right? And so I'm afraid. I'm afraid I'll lose my freedom. I'm afraid I'll lose my fun. I'm afraid I'll lose my fulfillment in life. No thanks, God. So I harden my heart towards him. Another one is bitterness. Whenever we've been hurt and we hold on to those hurtful memories, it causes our hearts to close off to God. We start saying things like, God, why did you allow that to happen to me? Why did you do that to me? Or why is the thing that I'm going through right now happening to me? Why are you doing this? If you're such a great, loving, powerful God, why did this happen to me? You're going to be hurt in life. You will have pain in life. This is heaven. This is not heaven. This is earth. Wouldn't it be great if this was heaven? This is not heaven. This is earth. And God has given us the freedom to make decisions. And so people are free to do wrong things. And the result is that oftentimes innocent people suffer. Not everything happens in this world is according to God's will. He's given us the freedom to choose, and people get hurt because of it. You're going to be hurt in life. What you do with that hurt will determine whether you become a better person or a bitter person. A bitter life is a wasted life. When we become bitter, when we hold on to our hurts, it only prolongs the pain. And what we tend to do is we say, they hurt me, so I'm going to close myself off, build up walls, hide in my shell. I'm not going to let anybody get close to me, and not even God, because I'm just not going to let it happen again. And we start blaming God for things other people did to us. And as a result, our hearts get hard. People who have been deeply hurt often have a hard time opening up their hearts to God. They've held in so much of the hurt. Some of you have been deeply hurt in the past. Some of you may have lost a loved one. Maybe even recently, maybe you lost a child and you still feel the pain. Some of you were abused as children, either verbally or physically or emotionally. Some of you have known the betrayal of a spouse who was unfaithful to you, and that still hurts. Some of us were hurt by people who wore the label Christian. Or you were in a church situation where supposedly Christian people didn't act very Christian, very Christ-like. They hurt you, and you got burned in a church experience. And so you're looking at me, and you're like, dude, you should be happy that I'm even here. The tendency then is to say, well, if that's what Christianity is all about, no thanks, God. I don't want you, and I don't want your people. And we blame God for what other people have done to us. If you have been deeply hurt, just let me say two things to you. I'm very sorry. I'm very sorry you are hurt. And God hurts with you. He never promised to exempt us from pain. He weeps with you. He understands your pain. And he understands what you've gone to. And two, what I want to say to you, when you are in pain, when you do hurt, don't run from God. Run to him. He's the only one who can care. He's the only one who can help. He's the only one who can bring comfort. He's the only one who can make a difference, bring healing to your emotions, to your body, to your past. Nobody else can do that. When you run from God out of pain, you're running from the only person who can ultimately give you the healing that you need. So don't do it. Don't run from him. Turn to him in your moment of crisis, in your moment of pain. Turn to him with your heart. Instead of holding it in, give it to him. Never allow any other human being or experience to block your relationship with God. Don't turn from God because somebody else did something to you. Give your heart, give your hurt to God. Don't close off your mind. Don't harden your heart to him. Give it to him. The tragedy, by the way, of that hard beaten path is that it is barren. Nothing can grow there. It's unfruitful. A bitter life is a wasted life. It only prolongs the pain. Jesus says the birds come along and they eat the seed. That kind of life, by the way, a hard-hearted life is truly for the birds. And you've met people who have got hard hearts, and you don't want to be anything like them. Instead, look at this. The pastor to the Church of Jerusalem, his name was James, he says, get rid of all the moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Let God love you. Drop your defenses and open up your heart to him. So the first step in hearing God speak is to cultivate a receptive heart. I'll be quicker on the next points, by the way. Second one is this. Set aside time to listen. I have got to make time to hear God speak. I've got to slow down, get quiet in his presence, plan it into my schedule. I mean, we schedule everything in life. Vacations, dentist, doctor's appointments, evenings out with friends, homework, sports, hobbies, whatever. We schedule everything. But do you schedule time for God in your daily rhythms? Or does God just get your leftovers? Right? The second reason a lot of us don't hear God speak is we're in too much of a hurry. In our society, we always seem to be in a hurry. People rushing here, people rushing everywhere. We're living in the immediate, the right now. And when we live a hurried lifestyle, God gets shortchanged. He gets shuffled to the bottom of the deck. He gets our leftover time and energy. You know, we want to hear God speak, yes, but we say, hey, God, I'm in a hurry, so, you know, if you're going to want to say something to me, can you do it now? Because I kind of have to go. Like, I only have a minute. Could you just quickly just send me something? Right, as I'm running out the door to my next appointment or assignment or my next deliverable, I'm saying, okay, God, speak to me. Do it quickly. I'm on my way out, right? This is how it works. And we never hear God because we're moving too fast. You know, where's this be still and know that I'm God moment? In verse 6, Jesus says, other seed fell on shallow soil with rock beneath. The seed began to grow, but soon withered and died for lack of moisture. And when he explains it to his disciples, he says, those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe it for a little while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. Just as the hardened path represents the unreceptive heart, the shallow soil represents a superficial heart, a superficial mind. It's shallow. By the way, when Jesus talks about rocky soil here, he's not just talking about soil with a bunch of rocks in it. Much of the Middle East, in particular Israel, is built on this bedrock of limestone with only a few inches of topsoil on it. That means plants can grow their roots a few inches down, but that's about it. So when the summer comes and the heat is on, many of the plants wither because they can't grow these deep roots. Right? They die because their roots bump into this bedrock. And he's saying this represents the superficial type of hearer who hears the word of God. The word sprouts up in them. They get all excited, but it doesn't last. Because when the heat is on in life, and when the problems come, they wither and they fall away. Don't we experience this in life too? Sometimes we hear God and we get all excited about what he has said to us, and we're superficially moved and react emotionally and we're moved impulsively, but we never really give it time to sink in and take root in our hearts and our lives. Right? People have often said to those of us who spend time here on Sunday morning sharing the good news is, you know, I was really moved by that message. I was really touched. But a month later, there's been no perceivable change or behavioral difference in their life. They're still living the same way. They got excited about the message, but they didn't do anything about it. And this can happen to us. And as a result, we live these shallow, superficial lives. They have no deep roots. And when the heat is on, we're not going to last. Why is it that we don't change? Why is it that we don't act on the things that we hear, the things that move us? They've done studies on this, by the way. And do you realize that after 72 hours, you only retain 5% of what you heard 72 hours before? Like, if you want a statistic that will depress any teacher, any communicator, this is it. Literally, Wednesday morning comes and you're like, did I even go to church on Sunday? And what did that tall, dark, and handsome guy say anyhow? Right? You know, teachers, communicators, they work hard to teach something and bring something inspiring and compelling. But by Wednesday, you've retained 5%. And by the way, I'm the last to blame you. I don't even remember sometimes what I spoke on the week before. All right. By the way, that's why we give you these so that you can take some notes on the back. Because the truth of it is that the shortest pencil is better than the longest memory. If you don't write it down, you're going to forget it. And if you forget it, you can't work on it. And by the way, as I said, this is a challenge for us all, particularly those of us who communicate. I remember going to a conference one time and I heard a very impactful message for my life. And I thought to myself as I was listening, you have to do something about this. And I was motivated to make some changes in my life, but somehow I forgot to review the notes that I had taken. And I found them a little while later by accident. And when I looked at the notes, I felt so convicted because a couple of months had passed and I had done nothing about stuff that was life-changing. And that was my bad. I had already forgotten what I was so excited about and what I was so motivated to do. Think of that seed, verse 13 there. They receive the word with joy, but when they hear it, they don't have any root. In other words, we don't retain it. He's saying you can be thrilled without being transformed. So you need to write it down in a journal, in a notebook. Keep track of it somewhere. Some of you have to keep relearning certain lessons in life because you've not retained what you've thought you've learned. We need to allow these life lessons to sink in. We need to allow God's word when he speaks to sink in. So let me encourage you to schedule time every day where you sit down with your Bible. You open it and you read it. You think about what's written there and you think about what's going on in your life. And you write down some of the lessons that you're learning, what you sense God is saying to you. And then you review it later on to see what God is actually trying to shape in your life, right? By the way, why should God teach me new things if I haven't put into practice those things that he's already taught me? Things that he's taught me yesterday or even last year. Friends, we have no roots in life because we don't take the time. And when we don't take the time, we're passing up one of the most important and powerful opportunities in our life. To allow God's word to penetrate our hearts, to shape our life. So how do you get roots? You need to set aside time to listen. So this week you can say, God, I'm going to spend 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes alone with you in a quiet place. It's not really even about the amount of time. It's just that you get started with God and you give him space to speak to you. Where you say, God, okay, what's next? Speak to me through your word. What's next in my spiritual journey? What lesson do you want to teach me? What's next in my relationships? What's next in my marriage? What's next with my children? What's next in my job? And you're not going to hear God speak unless you give him time and space to do that. You need to slow down. So cultivate a receptive heart. Set aside time to listen. And the third thing that we need to do is get rid of the distractions. Lots of times we miss hearing God because our minds are so crowded with other thoughts. Our minds are filled with concerns of daily living, with appointments, with worries, with deadlines, with plans, with goals, with bills, all these kinds of different things. And when our mind is full and it's always racing, we never get a chance to, in silence, allow God to talk to us. He simply can't get through. The line is busy. Many times God has wanted to speak to you, but he's got a busy signal. Many times God has wanted to talk to you, but you are offline. You've got to make time. When you're too busy, and by the way, there are lots of good things that you can give your time to, but you might be doing the good things and missing out on the better or even the best things. If you're too busy to listen to God, friend, you are too busy. Verse 7 says, other seed fell among the thorns, the weeds, which grew up with it and choked the plants. And then in verse 14, when Jesus explains it to his disciples, he says, the seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear the word, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. The soil with weeds, this third kind of soil that the farmer is throwing seed on, represents a preoccupied heart, a busy heart. We're distracted. The seed sprouts, but it gets choked by the weeds before it can bear any kind of fruit. And Jesus says that distractions are kind of like weeds, and he gives us three examples. He says, well, there's the worries of life, right? They can distract you from hearing God speak. You can't pray and worry at the same time, by the way. Worries are the problems and the pressures of daily life. And the Greek word that is used here means to be pulled in different directions. And I'm pretty sure you felt that in life. You feel like you're being pulled in too many directions. That's the Bible's definition of worry. And when you're worrying, you can't hear what God is saying to you because you're preoccupied, you're distracted. Then there's the riches of life. They can be a weed. We can be so busy making money that we don't have time for God. So busy making a living that we don't actually really live into the life that he's invited us to. We don't really enjoy the life that God offers us and holds out to us in Christ. We just get up in the morning and we go to work. We work hard, we try to pay the bills, we try to catch up on some of our appointments, and just when we get even, we realize the Joneses have refinanced, right? And we flop into bed at night, and we get up the next morning to do the same thing, to try to keep up with people we don't know, maybe don't even like, to get things we don't need. And God gets crowded out. God gets the leftovers of our life. Right? The desire to make money can get you to forget God. And then there's also life's pleasures. There's nothing wrong with pleasures. God has given us the ability to enjoy pleasure that comes from him. God thought that up. God gave you the senses and the abilities you have to enjoy pleasure. God wants you to have pleasure. But he's saying you can be so busy pursuing pleasure, trying to have fun, that you forget him. And when recreation replaces worship, like, hey, it's a great time to go spring skiing. I think I'm going to cut church a few weekends and go snowboarding. Or I'll cut missional community. Or we're going to go on vacation and I'm just not going to really do my time alone with God anymore. Are you taking a vacation from God? Right? You can be so busy having fun pursuing pleasure, but you're crowding God out of your life. There are lots of different kinds of weeds. You can make your own list of the things that crowd God out in your life. It could be a relationship. It could be a responsibility. It could be too much TV watching, a hobby, anything. A weed is anything that distracts me from making time to be with God. So let me challenge you again. Get practical this week. Sit down, get quiet before God and say, God, is there anything that you want to say to me today? Some days he will, some days he won't. But you've got to have the line open and be ready to hear so that he can talk to you. So here's a theological question for you. How much effort does it take to grow weeds? No effort at all, right? What's the difference between a plant, a flower, and a weed? In my garden, a flower is something you cultivate, you fertilize, you prune, you water it, and it doesn't grow. A weed, you do nothing to and it explodes, right? That's the difference. You don't have to water weeds. They just seem to grow all on their own. And weeds are a sign of neglect, aren't they? When I start neglecting my time with God on a daily basis, when I start neglecting getting together with a smaller group of fellow believers who encourage me, when I start neglecting getting together with fellow believers for weekly worship times, any of those things, the weeds are going to start to pop up in my life. And the Bible says they're going to choke the spiritual life right out of me. I'm going to lose my joy, my sense of peace, my sense of purpose, my sense of calmness, my ability to handle stress. The weeds will choke the life right out of you. And they just all come by neglecting spending time with God. Let me wrap up. How can I hear God speak to me? Fourth thing, Jesus' words here teach us is that we need to act on what God tells us. God will speak to people who decide in advance that they're going to do whatever he tells them to do. Most of us want God to talk to us and then decide if we're going to do it or not. And God says, I don't play that game. God talks to people who are going to do what he tells them to do once he tells them to do it. If you want God to speak to you, you need to say, okay, God, I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Whether I understand it or not, whether it makes sense to me or not, whether I think I'd like to do it or not, because I know it's the right thing and I trust you. So the fourth soil represents a receptive, willing heart, a heart that is ready to do what God tells us to do. And we're ready to do those things before he even says things. The seed on the good soil stands for those who, with a noble and good heart, hear the word of God and retain it by persevering and produce a good crop. They not only hear God's word, but they retain it. They write it down. They listen to it. They think about it. And the result is a productive, a fruitful life. So, here's week one. Do you want to hear from God? Do you want to make your life count? Do you want to be fruitful in your life? Then do what James 1:22 says. It says, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. You're kidding yourself if you think you're just going to grow all by yourself just by coming to church. You need to invest time at home alone with God. Do that and you'll grow spiritually. Do it not and you'll flounder and soon shrivel in your spirit. And ultimately, you are responsible for your own spiritual growth. On the last day, when each of us stands before God, there will be no finger pointing allowed. We own this for ourselves. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up here. And I'm going to close by just asking you this question. If I was able to hook up a machine to your heart and give you a spiritual EKG or a spiritual ECG, an electrocardiogram, right now, what, and we displayed it on the screen, what would the contents of that ECG reveal? What is the condition of your heart this morning? Would you say you have an unreceptive heart? You have a hard heart? Do you have a superficial heart that gets excited about the service, but then walks out and forgets everything? Do you have a distracted heart? Or do you have to have a receptive, willing heart? Here's one question I want to leave you with. What have you sensed God saying to you this morning? And what are you going to go and do about it? Remember, we can be thrilled without being transformed. This is not what God wants from us. The Bible says, be doers of the word, not hearers only. Do something. Right? The moment you walk out of the door, there's going to be a little bird that's going to try to steal the seed of what we've talked about today. He's going to get you distracted. He's going to want you to start thinking about where you're going for lunch. Right? You're going to start thinking about the jerk who cut you off when you were leaving church or any number of other distractions. Well, here's the one thing that you can do as a result of today's message. Maybe to start having a quiet time alone with God every day where you open up the Bible for 5, 10, 15 minutes. Set aside time to read God's word daily. Talk with him and note down what he said to you. By the way, some of you, if you're looking for a helpful reading plan, the one that we follow here as a staff is from www.moravian.org. And just look for the daily text. It's a wonderful reading plan that you can work through. You can interact with the text using this acronym SOAP. This has been life transforming for me, where I just write down a word from Scripture or a Scripture verse. I make an observation about what it's saying. I then write down an application, like, what am I going to do about this now? And I write down a short prayer. It may be that some of you want to sign up for Centered or the Jesus-Shaped Life Studies, which are starting this Wednesday, and you can do that at the Welcome Center at the end of our service. Or it may be that you simply commit to praying for 5 to 15 minutes every day, that you quiet your heart and you just listen to what God is saying. listen, do something. Do something about this. Don't waste it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have told us what to do. You've said that you want to speak to us. Help us to have open, receptive hearts, not closed, unreceptive hearts. Help us to not have superficial hearts, but to really review and think about and study and go over the things that we've learned from you, that you've taught us in many different ways. And when you speak to us, help us to care enough to write things down. Otherwise, we'll forget it and have to relearn some of those life lessons. Help us not to be distracted by good things that are secondary things, things that would keep us from the best things, from spending time with you in your word, listening to you, talking with you. So Heavenly Father, would you help us to have an open and willing heart to do what you want us to do? And Father, we thank you again that we can worship you by giving back to you a portion of our income. We thank you for blessing us. And on this day where we realize that there's a lot of sadness, a lot of dark news in our world, and we're very aware of it, and we want to be praying for those things, we're also very glad to enter into this time of giving, where we worship you by giving you a portion of our income. And so, Father, we thank you for blessing us so abundantly, and we give joyfully to you. Amen.